Welcome back to the deep dive. So if you're navigating the massive world of modern agriculture, you've heard all the buzzwords.
Oh, yeah. Regenerative biostimulants, soil health.
Exactly. But how do you know which products are actually, you know, delivering real biological change and which are just expensive cocktails in a different bottle?
It's the central problem, really.
Yeah.
And our sources today, they shine a very bright light on it. We're looking at a system that addresses a really widespread challenge.
Declining soil vitality.
Declining vitality, high input costs, and crops that just don't have the resilience they need. The mission here is to find the input that fixes the root cause, not just the symptom.
Right. And our mission for this deep dive is to synthesize the science of these biologically active inputs. We're focusing on a fascinating story that starts with turning fish processing waste into agricultural gold.
And this story centers on a company, Oceanic Organics, which started its work on a macadamia orchard in South Africa.
In KwaZulu-Natal. And we are really zeroing in on a crucial scientific comparison here.
A critical one. Because not all liquid fish products are created equal. Not even close.
We need to understand the radical differences in how they're processed.
Specifically differentiating fish emulsion, fish hydrolysate, and then the one that's often biologically superior, the anaerobic acid-fermented fish silage. The process,
okay.
It defines the result.
Okay, let's unpack this. So the whole narrative, it doesn't begin in some sterile lab. It starts right there in the field.
With a guy named Mike Jackson managing that macadamia orchard. And he was facing all those classic issues.
Pest pressure, fertilizer bills going up and up.
And just stressed trees that weren't thriving. Instead of continuing down that, you know, chemical rabbit hole, he made a fundamental decision to apply regenerative principles.
A total pivot.
A total pivot, guided entirely by the science of the soil food web. And the core philosophy that he crystallized, and which still guides the company, is simple.
Feed the soil, not the crop.
Feed the soil, not the crop, and share everything you learn along the way. It's a huge intellectual shift. It's built on the idea that true, lasting fertility requires a living ecosystem beneath our feet.
And he wasn't just guessing. The sources, they name-check the heavy hitters who informed this thinking.
Oh, yeah. Leaders like Dr. Lane Ingham, who really championed the whole soil food web concept.
Dr. Christian Jones, Nicole Masters, John Kempf. I mean, these are the modern pioneers guiding this whole movement back to biological sanity.
And the initial results, when he started doing on-farm fermentation with fish waste, molasses, and sea salt,
yeah,
they were immediate and biologically profound.
It's what our sources call a visible and measurable transformation. We're talking an observable shift.
Massively improved soil structure.
Roots penetrating much deeper.
A sharp increase in microbial activity. And this is critical, a jump in the fungi to bacteria ratio, the FB ratio.
And the trees responded. The macadamia trees had higher sugar content, higher Brix, which led to stronger pest and disease resistance.
That jump in the fungi to bacteria ratio, that's really the key insight here.
Why is that so important?
Well, a high FB ratio is the hallmark of healthy regenerative soil. Mm-hmm. Fungi are like the structural engineers of the soil. They produce these sticky substances like glomalin.
Right, the glue.
It's the biological glue. It binds tiny soil particles into the larger aggregates. And that whole process prevents erosion and drastically improves water infiltration and retention. That's essential for resilience.
So the fermentation wasn't just like stabilizing waste. It was creating a tool that literally reorganized the physical structure of the soil to make it more resilient.
Exactly. Which is why we have to look past the label on the bottle and ask, how is the fish actually treated?
Okay, let's start with the most common one and maybe the least effective for regeneration. Fish emulsion. It's everywhere. But what compromises are built into it?
Fish emulsion is essentially a nitrogen feed. It's produced by cooking the raw fish under extremely high heat.
So it's boiled.
It's boiled, yeah.
Yeah.
That separates the oils, and then the solids are skimmed off. But that intense heat and aeration, it fundamentally changes the biological value.
It denatures it, right. But for you, the listener who isn't a chemist, why does denaturing matter in the field? What's the practical failure of a heat-denatured product?
Denaturing means you destroy the complex long-chain molecules.
Yeah.
All the good stuff, the beneficial amino acids, peptides, the fragile omega oils, they're gone.
So what's left?
What remains is primarily short-chain, quick-release nitrogen. Because the carbon chains are so short, the nitrogen is available fast, but it drives bacterial dominance.
Okay, so a quick green-up.
A very fast green-up, but it's highly leachable, washes away,
mm-hmm.
and it does almost nothing to feed the fungi or build that lasting soil structure we just talked about.
So emulsion is a quick shot of N that feeds bacteria, but it's gone in a flash. The next step up is cold process enzymatic fish hydrolysate.
Much gentler.
Sounds like it.
It is. The hydrolysate process avoids heat completely. Instead, they use naturally derived proteolytic enzymes.
Like in our stomachs.
The exact same kind of enzymes that break down food in our stomachs, yeah. They use them to digest the fish material at low temperatures, typically below 45 degrees Celsius.
So that low temperature process is the key safeguard.
That's it. It preserves all those delicate complex structures, the amino acids, the peptides, the oils, the vitamins, in their natural active form.
So when you apply it...
When you apply hydrolysate, it's biologically active. Right. It's a clean, balanced meal for the microbes in the plant. It supports organisms like mycorrhizal fungi. It's a huge step toward balance. Definitely.
But now let's talk about the process that really accelerates soil regeneration, the anaerobic acid-fermented fish silage, what Oceanic Organics calls their fermented fish hydrolysate, or FPH. Mm. We're moving from just a clean meal to, like, establishing a whole living ecosystem, and here's where it gets really interesting.
This specific fish silage approach is, it's uniquely suited for regenerative outcomes because it involves true contained fermentation.
What does that mean, contained?
They inoculate the raw fish with lactic acid bacteria, add molasses for carbon and sea salt, and then they seal it up under strictly anaerobic conditions. Zero oxygen.
So it's not just digested, it's fermented into a living dynamic product.
Precisely. It's rich in organic carbon, beneficial microbes, and the fermentation naturally stabilizes the product at a very low pH, usually below 4. It's essentially liquid stabilized living fertility.
So why does this low pH silage process win when the goal is accelerated regeneration? What's happening on a mechanical level that drives that critical shift toward fungi?
It all comes down to the organic acids produced during that oxygen-free fermentation, specifically lactic, acetic, and formic acids. These compounds are the powerhouses.
Lactic acid.
Lactic acid in particular is a powerful biostimulant. It's a preferred carbon source that strongly favors the growth of beneficial fungi and helps rapidly build that stable carbon structure.
Okay, that sounds like the core scientific advantage. Let's break down those four key mechanisms because this is the aha moment for you, the listener.
Certainly. First, they dramatically improve nutrient chelation. The organic acid molecules?
Yeah.
They act like a microscopic claw.
Or delivery truck.
Or a specialized delivery truck, exactly. They bind to essential nutrients, calcium, magnesium, iron, zinc, and they prevent them from getting locked up in the soil. This keeps them soluble and available for roots to absorb immediately.
So they make sure the plant gets the nutrition it needs, even if the soil chemistry is, you know, locking those minerals down. Okay, what's mechanism two?
They locally regulate pH in the rhizosphere. This is crucial. When you apply the silage, the acids lower the pH right around the root zone.
Just in that one spot.
Just in that one spot, which enhances phosphorus solubility and significantly increases the mobility of micronutrients.
Wait, okay, that's a good point to pause on. If the product is acidic, what's the risk of applying it to soil that's already sensitive or acidic? Are we just trading one problem for another?
That's a great question, and the distinction is vital. The change in pH is highly localized. It's only happening in that thin layer of soil immediately surrounding the rhizosphere.
So it's not changing the whole field?
Not at all. This temporary localized acidification is actually beneficial. It allows the root to efficiently dissolve and absorb nutrients that were unavailable in the bulk soil. It gives the root immediate access to what it needs.
That's a huge win for efficiency. So what's number three?
Third, they provide microbial stimulation. These organic acids, they signal the roots to produce more root exudates.
So the plant starts feeding its partners.
It's the plant feeding its microbial partners, yeah. Huh. Especially beneficials like Pseudomonas and Azospirillum. It enhances the whole nutrient cycling efficiency. It's a biological feedback loop.
And the last mechanism is about protection, right? Defense.
Exactly. The combination of mild acidity and the competitive dominance of all those beneficial microbes in the root zone leads to pathogen suppression. They act like a protective shield.
They just take up all the space?
They take up the space and the resources, suppressing destructive soil-borne pathogens like Pythium, Rhizoctonia, and Phytophthora. It strengthens the plant's defenses from the ground up.
So that holistic combination, nutrient delivery, structural building, and defense, that's why this specific type of FPH is the soil builder. And the sources show this isn't just theory.
Not at all. The case study near Stenger, KZON, measured this exact transformation, reinforcing that whole test-don't-guess approach.
Yeah.
But it's important to note the fish silage, the FPH, it often functions as a base. Oceanic Organics treats it as the nutritional foundation and then blends it with other high-efficacy, scientifically supported biostimulants.
And they cite the references for every active ingredient. They're very transparent.
Very transparent.
So what are the key supporting players in this toolkit?
Well, first, they use high-quality seaweed extracts, usually Ascophyllum nodosum. These are rich in natural growth hormones and stress-relieving compounds.
So they help with vigor, rooting, flowering.
Vigor, rooting, flowering, fruit set, and resilience against abiotic stresses like heat or drought.
And of course, you have to build up the organic carbon.
Which is where the humic and fulvic concentrates come in. Humic acids mostly stay in the soil, improving aggregation, while the smaller fulvic acids are excellent transport molecules. They boost nutrient uptake efficiency.
Okay, they also mentioned something called triacontinol, or TRIA. That sounds incredibly specialized.
TRIA is fascinating. It's an ultra-low-dose plant growth regulator.
So a signaling molecule.
Exactly. It's naturally found in things like beeswax and alfalfa. And when you apply it, even in parts per billion, it signals the plant to accelerate processes like photosynthesis and cell division. It gives the plant a non-stressful growth spurt when it needs it most.
It's not bulk feeding, it's communication.
Precisely. And finally, they optimize the delivery of micronutrients using organic delights.
So they use things like citric acid or amino acids to, what wrap around the mineral?
To wrap around them, yeah. Mm. They chelate things like boron, zinc, copper, manganese. This makes these crucial minerals highly stable and easily absorbable, especially in foliar sprays.
It's clear this is a comprehensive systems approach. The FPH builds the biology, and these other compounds optimize plant functions surgically.
That's the aim. Strengthening the whole plant from the ground up, reducing reliance on conventional inputs, and driving the plant toward its maximum genetic potential using natural mechanisms.
Okay, so let's move into practical application. The sources are very clear. This is a dynamic process, not a static recipe. They emphasize custom blending based on the crop, the soil, and the phenology.
Or growth stage of the plant. That customization is where the efficiency is really maximized. They tailor the blend to achieve specific biological goals at just the right time.
So, for example, during the initial vegetative or root flush stage, what's the goal there?
You need robust foundation building.
So FTH plus the soil conditioners.
Exactly. FPH with humic and fulvic acids to physically stimulate rooting. And at the same time, they'll add amino chelates like zinc, manganese, and iron, because those are essential cofactors for enzyme activation. They kick off all the critical growth processes.
And that blend completely changes when the plant shifts gears, say, preparing to bloom.
Absolutely. For flower induction and bloom, the focus shifts away from nitrogen-heavy growth. The blend uses more seaweed extracts and boron chelates.
Why that combination?
It strengthens the cellular walls of the flower tissue, ensures better pollination, and conditions the plant to hold onto its fruit, even under stress.
Mm.
It's all about surgical timing.
And finally, as the crop enters the fill, quality, and finish stage, the goal shifts again.
Correct. Then the blend focuses on quality. They'll use amino chelated potassium and magnesium, which are critical for moving sugars, for fruit fill, and for color development. And they'll use fulvic-assisted micros for late-season efficiency.
So it's a complete cyclical process. Listen and baseline the soil.
Design the custom blends.
Specify the application timing, foliar, fertigation, drench.
And then continually monitor with sap or leaf analysis to adapt the next blend. It's regenerative agriculture moving into high definition.
Which brings us back to our core summary for you, the learner. We've synthesized the differences between these three main fish products.
In short, fish emulsion equals quick nitrogen feed, low biological return. Fish hydrolysate provides balanced microbial nutrition. It supports the life that's already there.
And fish silage, the anaerobic acid fermented fish hydrolysate, is the accelerated soil builder. It's uniquely engineered for regeneration, driven by those low pH organic acids that build carbon-rich structure and fuel the fungal communities.
So what does this all mean? The mission laid out by the pioneers in these sources is clear: to reduce dependency on costly, finite inputs and achieve lasting profitability through optimized biology.
It's transforming what was once industrial waste fish processing offcuts into a highly functional tool for ecological resilience.
It is a radical shift in how we view resources.
And if the key to building resilient, carbon sequestering soil is successfully shifting that fungi to bacteria ratio, and that's driven by low pH anaerobic fermentation, it raises a really profound question. How might our broader industrial world change if we start viewing low-pH biological fermentation of any organic waste stream, not just fish, as a critical high-value step in building ecological wealth, rather than just a challenge to be neutralized and disposed of.
The science certainly suggests that the most valuable products are the ones that maintain the complex structure of nature.
We hope this gave you the clarity and the deep scientific understanding you needed to differentiate these inputs. Thank you for sharing your sources for this deep dive. Until next time.